Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Hello, Shalom Aleichem. Welcome. Today's Daf is Yuma Samaches. We got up to the two dots, which are 10 lines from the top of the Amid. Now, the Mishnah spoke about the par v'soir of Yom Kippur, which are taken beyond three machanos. So, in Eretz Yisrael would be the Beis Hamikdash, the Azor would be Machna Shechina, Har HaBayis would be considered like Machne Leviya, and Yerushalayim, like Machne Yisrael. So the three Machnes correspond to the three Machnes in the Midbar, where you have Machne Shechina, the Mishkan, Machne Leviya surrounding it, surrounding that is Machne Yisrael. So you take the Parvisar beyond all three Machnes, outside Yerushalayim, where they will be burnt. The Mishnah as well tells us that the fellow who transports the Parvisar, he becomes Tamei and his Begadim as well. He is Metamei Begadim. Now, at what point does Tumas Begadim set in? Rav Machlekes, Tanakama says, although Sreifa is done beyond three Machnois, but Tumas Begadim kicks in right as soon as he leaves the first Machna. Mishiyatu Chutz L'choymas Ha'azara. When they leave the Azara, that's the first Machna, Tumas Begadim sets in. Whereas Rav Shimon maintains, Mishayatzis Ha'ur Beruban. You need to wait until the fire catches on to most of the Parvisoyer. See, the Pasuk says, V'hasoyer of Oysam Michabes Begadim. One who's engaged in the Sreifa process of these animals, his Begadim become Tamei. Tanakama maintains, that process begins as soon as you leave the Azara. The Gemara now will give us the background for this machlekes. Says the Gemara, "May masam tamen begadim tana rabbanon." The pasuk says, "Yoytzi el mechutz lamachne." So the par and the sur on Yom Kippur are meant to be taken out of the machne. Yoytzi el mechutz lamachne v'sur fuvaish. And over there, you meant to burn them. Question is, why does the pasuk make reference to a single machne? Yoytzi el mechutz lamachne v'sarvu. Why only one machne? They're meant to be taken beyond all three machnes for Sreifa. Lahalan ata noisin lahem shalach machnes. Elsewhere, you tell me you need to take it beyond three machnes. V'kan ata noisin lahem machna achas. And here, you're only giving them one machne? Meaning, when it comes to the other karbanis, speaking about the par herlam davar shel tzibur, which Klal Yisrael will bring on account of an avera they committed b'hiroas bezdin, a par herlam davar, or a par kohen mashiach, if a kohen gadol commits an avera, he brings his own personal par throughout the year. Those are also karbanets which are meant to be burnt outside all three machnes. And when it comes to par v'so'er on Yom Kippur, they also conform to that. That halacha, because as Rashi brings the Gemara in Zvachim, bases it on a pasuk that all these karbanos are meant to be burnt at the same exact location beyond three machnes. So that's the pshat lahala natanoisin lehem shalish machnes. Elsewhere, you tell me they're all burnt beyond three machnes. V'kan natanoisin lehem machna achas. And here, you suffice with only transporting them outside one machne and have them burnt there? That can't be. If that's the case, why does the pasuk mention only a single machne? Yoytzi el mechutz lamachne. Im kein lo menemar mechutz lamachne. Says the Gemara, it's meant to be applied to a different halacha. Not the location of sreifa, rather. At what point? It's describing the point where tumas begadim sets in. Loy malach, kivish yotze chutz lamachne achas. Once you leave beyond even one machna, you leave the Azara, metamim begadim, tumas begadim sets in. The process of sreif has already begun. You've already begun transporting this animal sreif. But certainly the sreif itself occurs outside three machnas. V'hosu menolam. Indeed, how do we know elsewhere and that the halacha of sreif is going to be beyond three machnas? We're assuming it as a known fact, as a given, that when it comes to all the other karbonis, that requires Sreifa, they're going to be done outside the three machnis. V'asa menol on the sanya. V'hoitzi es kol par. This is the pasuk by Par Koin Mashiach. You meant to transport the par outside the machna, el mechutz la machna, el makam tar, el shefach hadeshen, v'sorav oisoy, etc. That's where you burn it. Says the Gemara, although it says mechutz la machna, which denotes a single machna, but in reality, it's chutz to sholish machnis. It's really beyond all three. How do you know? Ato oimer chutz to sholish machnis. You claim it's beyond three. Oy einoy ela chutz la machna achas. Perhaps you're going to burn the par koyin Moshiach beyond one machna. As more can't be. Why? Kishu oimer repara eda el chutz la machna. Because we find another pasuk discussing the par heelim davar shel tzibur, which is going to be taken el mechutz lamachnem v'saraf oisoy kasher saraf es apar harishin chatas akolahu. The pasuk by par helim davar tells you take him out mechutz lamachnem, burn him there the same way you burnt the other par, the par kohen mashiach, which a kohen gadol will bring if he commits a grave avera throughout the year. So the kasha is, why does the pasuk by par helm davar need to repeat the location? Elam chutz lamachne. We don't need it. We already know its location from the other par, from par koin mashiach, because they're both connected. Shein tamad loim, there's no need for the pasuk to state it again over here. Sharik far nemar v'soraf oisei kasher soraf es hapar harishon. That very same pasuk tells you, burn this par helm davar at the same exact location where you're going to burn the par koin mashiach, which we know to be mechutz lamachne. So why the repetition? Uma tamadoim el mechutz lamachne. Why did the Torah again describe the location of Sreifa as being mechutz lamachne? There's no need, since we already know the location from the other part, from the par koin mashiach. This one is meant to be burnt the same place as the other one. So why do you have to describe it again? Mechutz lamachne. Litein lemachne shnia. This pasuk is coming to tell you, push it out yet another machna. So both the par helam davar and the koin mashiach, which will be burnt at the same place, are meant to go beyond two machnis. Okay, so we've already gotten beyond two machnis. How do you know it's going to be beyond three? Ugeshu oimer yichus lamachna bedeshin. There's another pasuk elsewhere, unrelated to these, speaking about when the Kohen transports the ashes of the Mizbeach, the Deshen. Occasionally they would do that, according to Rambam, it was a daily affair. They take the Deshen outside Yerushalayim to where? The Pasuk says, V'hoitzi sa'deshen el mechutz la'machne el mokum tor, beyond the machne. The Shaila is, why do you need to spell it out? They take the Deshen el mechutz la'machne. Keshu Omer, Mechutz lamachna b'deshen. We find the reference to mechutz lamachna by deshen, really it's unnecessary. It's unnecessary to spell out the location. She'en tamad leimer. You know why? Because way back by the mokib sreifa of the par koyin mashiach, what does the Torah say? You take him out mechutz lamachna el shefach ha'deshen, to where you the place where you spill out the deshen, right? That's where you take out the par koin mashiach chutz lamachne al shefach deshen. So what does that tell you about the location of the shefach deshen? Apparently it's mechutz lamachne, right? So why does the pasuk have to spill it out again? When the pasuk speaking about transporting the deshen outside the machne, why spell it out that it's mechutz lamachne? We already know that you shefach the deshen mechutz lamach. Pasuk already told you. By par koin mashiach, you burn it outside the machne, where you bring the deshen. So you already know that the deshen goes mechutz lamachne. Ukshu oimer mechutz lamachne b'deshen she'en tamud loimer. There's no need for that again. Sharu kvar ne'emar al shefach hadeshen. Apparently, it's coming to tell you a chiddush. Tein loy machne shlishis. Give him another machne. That all these things take place way beyond, outside all three machnis. Shefach HaDeshen is there. you burn the Parkoin Mashiach there, the Parhelam Davar, and Parvis Serv of Yom Kippur as well, which are connected to those Korbanos. So Sreifa takes place beyond three Machlis. Why then does the Pasuk tell you that you take the Par and Serv of Yom Kippur Mechutz La Machane, outside a single Machne? That's not a reference to the Mokim Sreifa. Rather, that's telling you where the din of Tumas Begadim commences. It kicks off right when you leave the Azara, the first Machne. That's the Shita of the Tanakhama. Now, Rabbi Shimon disagreed in the Mishnah. Tumas Begadim, according to him, began when Mishayatis or Urba Ruban, once the fire takes hold of most of the animal. So what does he do with Mechutz L'machn? Rabbi Shimon, I Mechutz L'machn, am I Avidli? Says the Gemara, he applies it for another halach. It's going to tell you the exact, it's going to pinpoint the exact mokim of Sreifa. We know it's Mechutz L'machnos, all three, but where? In which direction outside Yerushalayim? So he says like this, Rabbi Lezo Oimer, Neman kan Mechutz L'machn. Over here by the Purim and Sraphim and Kippur, we have a Lashon Mechutz L'machne. V'nemar Lahalon Mechutz L'machne. And elsewhere, by Par Aduma, there as well, the Pasuk speaks about doing the process, the Shechita, etc., Mechutz L'machne. We make a parallel. We draw a parallel between two things. Ma kan chutz l'sholesh machnois, af lahalon chutz l'sholesh machnois. So first thing we learn, is just as over here by Yom Kippur, the Sreifa takes place outside all three Machnes, there as well by Par Aduma, the process will take place outside Yerushalayim, Mechutz L'Gimel Machnes. That's number one. And then, we bring the Halacha back. We draw a reverse parallel. Uma Lahalan B'Mizrach HaShir Yerushalayim. And just as the Par Aduma takes place where? In the Mizrach of Yerushalayim, to the east of Yerushalayim. Why? Because the Pasuk there speaks about the Hazah of the Dam being done Neuchach Pnei Oyel Moed, towards the direction of the Mizrach of Oyel Moed, the Mizrach of the Heichal. Evidently, the process will take place to the east of the Beis HaMikdash, to the east of Yerushalayim. Afkan, but Mizrach HaShir Yerushalayim here as well. On Yom Kippur, the Sreifa of these Korbanis will take place outside Yerushalayim, to the east of Yerushalayim. So according to Rabbi Shimon, we apply this pasuk of Mechutz L'machne for this halach to allow us to make that connection between here and Par Aduma to indicate the exact location of the Sreifa and the exact location of the Par Aduma process. Both Mechutz L'machne, Mechutz L'sholish Machne actually, and to the Mizrach of Yerushalayim. V'Rabbanon Heicha Sarvlu. Now, according to Rabbanon, this pasuk isn't available to tell you that the Sreifa takes place in Mizrach Yerushalayim. So indeed, where? Where exactly will you burn the Parah, the Par V'Sor of Yom Kippur? Kedesanya, Hechen Nisrafen, where are they meant to be burned? Let's find out Shir Yerushalayim. V'chutz L'sholesh Machnes. Actually, it's not going to be to the east. It's going to be to the north of Yerushalayim. Let's find out Shir Yerushalayim. V'chutz L'sholesh Machnes. Why would we say tzofen? Says Rashi up on top, let's find a Yerushalayim, shekol ma'as echatos b'tzofen. The Gemara assumes, just as all the other ma'asim of a korban chatos are meant to take place in the tzofen, you do the shechita, the kabbalah, everything is in the tzofen of the azora. We assume that the process of sreifa takes place to the tzofen of Yerushalayim as well. Rabbi Yossi Oimer, says the Gemara, abeis adeshen nisrafen. They're meant to be burnt on the base Hadeshen. Now, what does this mean? All seem to agree that the Sreifa is going to be in a place designated for pouring out the Deshen of the Mizbeach. Pasuk says it's going to be Al Shevach Hadeshen. So what does he mean? Let's go back over to Rashi on the top line. Abeis Hadeshen, says Rashi, Tzorech sheyagdim l'shom Deshen ha-Mizbeach. What he means is you have to prepare the Mokim with Deshen. Make sure there's actual Deshen sitting there. Perhaps the wind blew it away. You have to make sure there's Deshen present before arriving with your Parvisoyer. Shehei nikra koydim lachen mokim shefach adashem. That's her basic shita. Mechlal the Tanakama litzorach. Says Rashi, apparently Tanakama doesn't require there to be, actually be deshen there at the time of your arrival. Okay, so all agree that the sreifa takes place outside Shalish Machnes. Regarding the Tumas Begodim, when does that occur? According to Tanakama, as soon as you leave one Machne, according to Shimon, you need to wait for the white, for the fire to catch on the most of the animal. And as far as the ruach, the direction outside Yerushalayim, according to Rabbi Shimon, it's going to be lemizrach. According to the Rabbanon, it's going to be letzafen Yerushalayim. Listen to this. I once read an article that up until about 100 or so years ago, there was a mound of ashes, incinerated animal parts, which was situated to the north of today's old city. So to the north of Har HaBayis, letzafenish Yerushalayim. And this was known traditionally throughout the community of Yerushalayim, the Yishuv people, that this is Shefach HaDeshen. This was the Mokim Shefach HaDeshen of the Beis HaMikdash. And it was sitting there for hundreds and hundreds of years, a tall, tall mound of animal waste, and burnt pieces of animal. And they say that it was a factory, a soap factory that would supply themselves from this mound that had the fatty elements of animal fat in there. This would supply their operations. And slowly but surely, the mound dissipated, and it disappeared. In fact, there was a famous tzaddik in Europe. I forget his name, of Clinton or something. And he heard about this. He was so excited. He asked somebody to send him a specimen of that deshen. And somebody actually sent him a burnt horn of an animal, and he was so taken by it. Imagine holding on to a piece of a carbon of the Beis Hamikdash. It was mutar b'hanah because it was already taken out of Yerushalayim, out of Beis Hamikdash. It was nasis mitzvah. It's no shiloh of me'ila, and he was just so inspired. Imagine holding on to a horn of a carbon tamid of Beis Hamikdash. So this was the shefach hadeshen, and they researched it, and it sort of works out with the Gemara because we just learned that the Makom Shefach HaDeshen was where? It was outside Yerushalayim, to the tzafen of Yerushalayim, and that's exactly what it was. It was north of Yerushalayim, and it seems that the theory was plausible, that it was the Makom Shefach HaDeshen. They say it was right near what today is called the Mandelbaum Gate. There's a museum there, and it was right there, a big mound of black ash. Makom Shefach HaDeshen. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yosi. Rabbi Yosi says we need to have some deshen transported to that location prior to Sreifa. Continues Gemara. Amar Rava, man tana de poligalid Rabbi Yosi. Who disagrees with Rabbi Yosi? Who does not maintain that deshen needs to be there at the time of Sreifa? Who's the Shita? Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, the Sanya, el shefach hadeshen yisarif. We learn from here, shehei l'sham deshen. There needs to be deshen present when you bring the par v'soyer for sreifa. Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov Omer, no, shehei mekoyim v'shufach. Shefach deshen means that it needs to be an angled, a slopy area which is suitable and designated for shvichas hadeshen. But Rav assumes that according to Rabbi Lezer ben Yaakov, you don't need the deshen actually there. So he's the chaylik on Rabbi Yosi. Amli Abaye, who says, V'dilma b'mekayim ha'mishuvach u'depligi. Perhaps all agree. Even Rabbi Lezer agrees that there needs to be deshen there. It's just that he's machmer. He requires that it should be a mokim mishuvach. It needs to be a slanty area. So in its contour, it has to present itself as a mokim shefach ha'deshen suitable for spilling deshen. But perhaps all shitas agree that all shittas here in this price, Tanakama and Rav Lezer ben Yaakov would agree that Sorach Sheyagdim L'Sham Deshen, he has to proceed, he has to bring some Deshen into that area to enable the Sreifa of Pavrisar. Okay, continues the Gemara, Tana Rabban. The Pasuk says, V'Hasoreif oisam yichabes begodav. So the fellow engaged in the sreifa of the pavisur, he has to rinse his begodim. He becomes tamei as well as his begodim. Says the brayse of asurif, hasurif metame begodim veloy hamatzis esaur. So Rashi right away explains, this brayse is following Rab Shimon, who maintains that the din of tumas begodim sets in during the sreifa. Right? As Rav Shimon said in the Mishnah, once the fire catches on to most of the animal, that's the true Shas Sreif, and that's where Tumas Begadim begins. So the Braisa is in line with that Shita, and the Braisa details it further. HaSoyrev Matam Begadim V'loya Matzis Esa'ur. There won't be Tumas Begadim applied to the fellow who simply lights the fire. V'loya Masada Samarach, nor does it apply to the fellow who sets up the firewood? Ve'ezeh ha'soyrev. Rather, who is the fellow, the serf, who will have tumas begodim? Zeh ha'masaya b'shas shreifa. It's only the fellow who's actually helping out the shreifa of the animal. So once the fire catches hold of the animal, he goes and helps things out. He will get tumas begodim. So that's when it begins. And tuma carries on throughout the sreif of the animal, but until what point does tumah apply? Says the Braisa, Yochel af mishnasu efer mitamah begadim. Perhaps you'll say, tumah's begadim applies up until and including when the animal turns into ashes. So anybody involved in the sreif, even at that point, will be mitamah begadim? No. Talmud loymar oisam. Pasuk says, v'asorev oisam yechaves begadim. When it's still oisam, when it's still somewhat intact, oisam mitam and begodim, v'lo mishanasu efer mitam and begodim. Once it turns into ashes, it's no longer intact. It's no longer going to be mitam and begodim. Rabbi Lezer b'Shimon Omer, he's more makel. He says even if it's not yet at the point of efer, tumas begodim ceases to apply. Hapar mitam and begodim, only when it's still in a par form. It's called to be Metame Begodim. But Nitacha Basar, once the Basar becomes partially incinerated, it's already dried and hardened, Eino Metame Begodim, it's no longer Metame Begodim. Might be Nayu. What would be the difference between Tanakama and Rezer B'Shimon? Ike B'Nayu, the difference is the Shavi Charucha. Once it turns into Charucha, charred, dried, incinerated, even though it's not Efer. At this point, Rabbi Lezer Shimon maintains there's no longer Tumas Begadim, whereas according to Tanakama, Tumas Begadim applies up until the point of Efer. And what's the Makor of Rabbi Lezer Shimon? So he makes mention of the word Hapar, and the Shaila is, there is no Hapar in this Pasuk. Pasuk says, V'asoyrev oisam mitame begodav, yichames begodav. So what does he mean by Hapar mitame, but once it's no longer the original par, it no longer looks like an animal, it's no longer fresh flesh, it's already incinerated, it loses that koyach to mitame begodim. So the Siach Yitzchak explains, you see, although in this pasuk, there's no mention of a par, but when the pasuk says, v'asorev oysam yichabez begodav, what does the pasuk mean? One who's engaged in burning them, what does that mean? The par v'soyer, which I mentioned in the other pasuk. So as long as it's still oysam, we still have the par v'sur in the original form, yeah, then mitame begodim. Once it loses that status, it's already charucha, it's already nitacha basar, it's no longer the par in its original format, it's no longer mitame begodim. So we learned about tumas begodim. What's the starting point for tumas begodim? According to Tanakama, mishayetsu chutz l'chayma sa'azor, as we learned in Amaral, Pasuk says, once you leave even one machna, there's going to be tumas begadim. According to Rav Shimon, meshayatzis ha'ur beruban. Tumas begadim only kicks in when the fire takes hold of most of the animal. Until what point will tumas begadim apply? But machlekes again. According to Rav Lezer b'Shimon, as soon as it becomes charred, nitach ha'basar, it's no longer the original par, no longer tumas begadim. According to Tanakama, the tumah applies up until the point of Nasu Efer, but once it turns into ashes, it's no longer Metame Begodim. Where is the sreifa going to take place? All agree mechutz l'shalish machnois. According to Reb Shimon, lemizrach shel Yerushalayim. According to Tanakama, letzfoina shel Yerushalayim. Regarding the deshen requirement, does it have to have deshen in the makom hadeshen to allow sreifa? According to Rabbi Yossi, yes. And according to Tanakama, no. And Rabbi Lezer Yaakov, there was a shayla there. Rava said he held you don't need, and Abaye maintained even Blazer Ben Yaakov requires defshin, but he adds another stipulation: Mekayim Meshufach has to be a slanty, slopy location. Continues the Mishnah: Omru Loi LeKayin Gadol Higi Asar LaMidbar. They informed the Kayin Gadol that the Samash Talech already arrived at the Midbar, and it's time to get back to the Avodah. Says Rashi off to the left: Omru Loi LeKayin Gadol. Why do I have to tell him? She'eni rashai lahaschol b'avoida acheres. He cannot resume the avoidos of the Beis HaMikdash achi yigi asar l'midbar, until the sir actually arrives at the midbar. She'nemar v'shilach es asar b'midbar, and only then does it say v'achakach v'eschel v'achatos yaktem es beicha. So they needed to tell him when that happened in order to allow him to go back to his avoid. Says the Mishnah, how did I know? It's Yom Kippur. How would they know that the Soyer arrived at the Midbar? Umenayin hayu yoydin sheigi asar l'midbar. Says the Mishnah, Dirchayis hayu oisin. Their position, signalmen, lookouts along the way, all along the route between Yerushalayim and the cliff, which was 12 mil away, roughly 12 miles, umenifam b'sudarn. And they would wave their flags. So the fellow standing near the cliff would be the first one, and then that would be the message for the next fellow who was standing on another hilltop in the distance, for him to pick up his flag and followed by the one next to him all the way to Yerushalayim. So the message passed very quickly, and by the time, and this way he knew that it's time to continue the avodah. Umanifim b'sudarin, they would wave the flags. V'yoydin sheyes al midbar, in which case they knew that the sir arrived at the midbar. So this is Tanakama's method. Amar Yehuda, why resort to that? V'aloi simon gadol hayolahem. It was a simon gadol. It seems that he liked this one better. It was a more convenient and more accurate simon to figure when the sir arrives at the midbar. Why? Mi'ushalayim bad beis chidudoi shloisha milim. You see, from Yerushalayim until the place called Beis Chidudoi, which was the beginning of the desert, Beis Chidudoi is a sharp, chad, rocky, sharp, the beginning of the Midbar area, which according to Yehuda is sufficient. As soon as the Sur reaches that point, that's considered Higia Sur LaMidbar. You don't need to have the Sur arrive at the cliff to enable the Kohen Gadol to go back to avoid it. Says Rabbi Yehuda, if that's the case, let's calculate as follows. Between Yerushalayim and Beis Chidudoi, we had 3 mil. Hoilchen mil, remember, the Bnei Yerushalayim would walk the fellow on that first segment, the first mil, the Choizer mil, and then they dropped him off at the first sukkah and came back. So now, the amount of time which it takes to walk 2 mil has already elapsed. V'shoyin k'day mil. And once they come back, they wait another, 18 minutes, whatever the shear, however long it takes to walk a mil. And at this point, they know. V'yoyidin shi'igi asar l'midbar. They know that the fellow with this soy arrived at the outskirts of the midbar. Basically, Dudoy, 3 mil away. Right? They walked a mil, they came back a mil, and they waited. The shear that it takes to walk a mil. And now we know with certainty. Now it seems that Rabbi Yehuda held this was more accurate than having flags. Some say perhaps the flagman might err in his signal and might pick up his flag too early. So he said, look, just use this simple method. This way you know the sir arrived. Rabbi Shmuel Aymar, Bali Simon Achar Hoylem. What about the other simon they had? They didn't have to have people and flags and calculations. There was a miraculous simon. If we got about the red ribbon, It was hung off the Pesach HaHeichal. Ukshigia Sar LaMidbar. And once the Sar arrived at the cliff, Haya Lashon Malbin. It would widen. That would be your best siman. That Sar has arrived. Shenemar Yuchat Eichem Kashanim. This was in line with the Pasuk. Torah says, if your Averis will be as red as red ribbons, Kashal Galbinu, it will whiten like snow. This is a siman of Kapara. And indeed, why couldn't this provide an accurate indicator of when the Sayer arrives at the Midbar? Apparently, the other Shitas held, you can't rely. It wasn't always, unfortunately, it didn't always happen. So it's not really something reliable. So we have three methods. We have the Tanakama's method, we have the flags. Rabbi Yehuda says, just calculate 3 mil, according to Rabbi Shmuel, use the red thread. Pretty clear from Rabbi Yehuda that Beis Chidudo is considered Midbar. Even though it's just the beginning of the Midbar, that is sufficient for our cause. And by saying this, Abai is teaching us the Kesov Rabbi Yehuda. Kiven shi gia sor la midbar nasis mitzvosai. That what Rabbi Yehuda meant to say was that as soon as the sor arrives at the outskirts of the midbar, so Beis Chidudo is already considered midbar. We consider it to be nasis mitzvosai. We consider the sor as having arrived at the midbar, in which case the mitzvah, at least the first segment of the mitzvah, has been fulfilled, and that is sufficient to allow the Kohen Gadol to proceed with the next segment in the Avodah. Hadron Loch Shnei Seiri. What was the next item on the agenda? It says the Mishnah, Baloi Kohen Gadol, Likrois. Kohen Gadol would arrive in the Beis HaKnesses, which was on the Har HaBayis, in order to read the Torah. He would read the portions of the Torah pertaining to Yom Kippur, and as Rashi, Tesis Shonim, bring Psukim. We know this from Psukim, that there needs to be a Kriyas HaTorah in Yom Kippur. So you actually have only twice a year where there's a Din Kriyas HaTorah, Min HaTorah. Right? All the Kriyas HaTorahs are only with the Rabbanon. The two times are, of course, Pashas Zohar. And here we have another Kriyas HaTorah, which is required Midaraisa, the Kriya of Kohen Gadol Yom Kippur. Says the Mishnah, Imrotza likrois bigdei butzker. If he chooses to do the Kriyas HaTorah wearing his white bigdei kahuna, sure, go ahead. Vimlav, otherwise, if he wants to use his own personal cloak, he can do that. Kore beitzdelis lovin mishaloi, he can use his personal white robe, even if it still belongs to him. He doesn't have to give it over to the tzibur. Because this activity that is engaged in this Kriyas HaTorah is not really an avoida, does not really require bigdei kahuna. Chazan HaKnesses Noitel Sefer Torah, the attendant of the shul, he would take the Sefer Torah first, v'noisnoi l'Rosh HaKnesses, and hand it over to the head of the shul, the what we call today the Gabbai, the one in charge of the Aliyahs, etc. So he would hand it over to him. V'Rosh HaKnesses Noisnoi l'Skan, and Rosh HaKnesses in turn would hand it over to the Skan Kohen Gadol, the assistant, be backup Kohen Gadol, so it would make its way up the ladder. Vaskan noisn Kohen Gadol, and finally the skan hands it over to the Kohen Gadol. The Kohen Gadol oimed makabel. Kohen Gadol got up to receive the Sefer Torah v'koyrei, and he reads the psukim in Parshas Achrei Mois, va'ach ba'asar, that's in Parshas Emor, describing the avoid and the karbonis of Yom Kippur. Now he really had another parsha to read in Parshas Pinchas, but they didn't want to keep the crowd waiting while they rolled the Sefer Torah. So he would stop right there. V'goylel Sefer Torah, close up the Sefer Torah, u'manicha b'cheker, place it in his bosom, v'oyman, he would announce, look, it's not because there's no more written in this Torah. Actually, it's a full Sefer Torah, it's a kosher Sefer Torah. V'oyman, yoysim ima, shekarasi lefnechem kosev kan. Much more than what I have read for you is written in this Torah. I simply don't want to keep you waiting. So I'm going to close the Sefer Torah and read the other one by heart. Ube'asar, the parasha of Be'asar l'chodesh, shebechumash ha'pkudim, which is contained in Parashat Pinchas, which is in Chumash Bamidbar, called Chumash ha'pkudim, the book of Numbers, begins by describing the counting of Kal Yisrael. So that parasha, Kur al-Peh, he'll read by heart. When he's done Kriyas HaTorah, he says no less than 8 brachas. Umavarach aleha shmoina brachas. Ala Torah. Actually says this is Asher Nosan Lono Teres Emes. The Rambam Pirsh Mishnah actually says it's also referring to the Asher Bracha Abonim before Kriyas HaTorah. So he does that. Vala Avoida, another bracha on account of the Avoida, the Karbonis. He's a Davin, he has a Tefillah. Hashem should accept the Karbonis. And he concludes with a bracha, Vala Ido, another bracha of Moedim, thanking Hashem for the opportunity to do the Avoida. And he concludes with a bracha. Vala Mechilas Avoin, pertaining to the Mechilas Avoinis, Vala Migdash Bnei Atzmoy, another bracha pertaining to a Tefillah. Hashem should sustain the Beis Hamikdash, Vala Yisrael Bnei Atzmoy, should sustain Yisrael, Vala Yishalayim Bnei Atzmoy, should sustain Yerushalayim, Vala Kehanim Fnei Atzma, another bracha on account of the Kehanim, Vala Shara Tfila, and another bracha called Shara Tfila, which the Gemara will describe. Concludes the Mishnah. Anybody who chose to observe the Kohen Gadol's Kriyas HaTorah, he couldn't possibly watch the other procedure taking place at that very time, the Parvisor being burnt. Likewise, Varoya Parvisar and Israfen, one who was observing the animals being burnt, Eino Yiroya Kohen Gadol Kshukoyer, he couldn't possibly watch the Kohen Gadol's Kriya. Vilim Pnei Sheni Rashai, not because it wasn't allowed. There was nothing illegal about it. It was just a practical consideration. Ela Shai Sider Chorchoyka. There was a great distance between both events, both locations. Umelechas Shnei and Shavakachas. And both events occurred simultaneously. So you have to make that choice, one or the other. You couldn't watch them together. Let's go over to Rashi, around two-thirds down the Amud. Balikroi, says Rashi, beginning of the Mishnah. Balikroi says, Aparsha dialfina mimiluim, damrim perakama, we learn from miluim, minayin shaf mikro pasha ma'akev, just as over there, says Rashi. Kriyas HaTorah is ma'akev here as well. Imrotza likroi is bigdei butz. If he chooses to continue wearing his bigdei kahuna, he can do that. He can do that. If he chooses to switch to the itzlas, lavush, kimin cholok, some sort of white robe, he can do that as well. So he's at the Beis HaKnesses, which Rashi says was Hoya Somach La'azor Barabais. It was an Arabais near the Azor. Now, interestingly enough, there's a Shiloh regarding the Sefer Torah that he would use. Which Sefer Torah would he use? So Rashi in Bava Basra, Yudal, says, it was that Sefer Torah which was inside the Arayin with the Luchais. I think more there describes everything that was in the Arayin, the Luchais and a Sefer Torah. That's the one used on Yom Kippur. So the Shaila is, how did he get the Sefer Torah out of the Arayin, out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim? So listen to this, the Rav Yoh writes that you know when he got it? Remember he went in to bring the Kaf and Machta of the Torahs? And basically, he had nothing to take out at that point. Says Rav Yoh, that's when he took the opportunity to take the Sefer Torah out of the Arayin and brought it to the shul. And when did he bring it back at the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Says the Rav Yoh, remember, he went in again later with the Bigdei Lavan to take the Kaf HaMachta out of the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So he went in empty-handed. He wasn't taking anything on the way in. That's when he took the opportunity to bring the Sefer Torah back into the Arayin HaKodesh and the Kodesh HaKadoshim. So said the Rav Yoh. Now, of course, this was when they had an Arayin by his Rishon. But the Mefarshim point out that once the Arayin was taken away, evidently the Sefer Torah was not. It didn't go along with the Arayin. And that must have been stored somewhere else, perhaps in this shul, which was in the Har HaBayis. Continues Rashi. So the Chazan HaKnesses, who's the Shamas, he would take the Sefer Torah and hand it to the Rosh HaKnesses, what we call today the Gabbai of the Shul, Al Piv Nechtoch and Tzorach HaKnesses, Mimafta, he's the one that decides who gets Avtoiru, Miparis Al Shema, Miyavil Fnei Teva, who's the Chazan, passing it over to the Kohen Gadol, who would read from the Torah, Achri Mois, Ach Be'osar, which Rashi says is Mepashas Emar Al Kehanim, and then he would declare, Vo'imer, Yo'isim Mimashe Kurasi, Mora Farish Taima, why you have to do that? And the third parasha, which was in Chumash HaPkudim, Sefer Vayidaber, Shemaschel, B'minyona Shal Yisroel, the parashas Pinchas, Vayisah Sefer, V'sham Mesofen Amurin, where the Mesofen are listed, that he was Kor Al Peh, time of Farshu Gemara. Then he had the eight brachas, which were as follows: Ala Torah bracha shlacharei asher nasan lanu, v'ala avoda ritzei b'amcha Yisrael. Interesting, the bracha ritzei we say today was said even when there was avoda in the Beis Hamikdash. It's not just today in lieu of avoda. It was said in the Beis Hamikdash, ritzei b'amcha Yisrael v'sirta avoda b'dver beisecha, and it concludes with the bracha. Probably Hashem, says, which is similar to our nusach today. Al avoda explains Rashi. What is al avoda? Bishvil avoda, on account of the avoda. She'avad. Voida smuchel avoda, and right afterwards comes haida. Chesiv zoveach toida chabdonni. Achar avoda toida. That's the order after you do avoda. You thank Hashem for the opportunity. V'haida. Al mechila sa avin machoil avin esenu b'yom kippur mazeh ad melech meichav esalech avin al amigdash mispalo al amigdash v'choisem boruch shebaruch av amigdash v'al akeihanim mispalo akeihanim, he does a tefillah for them v'choisem boruch shebaruch av brezare shal aron v'chein, and likewise another bracha al Yisrael v'ashal tefillah, which the Gemara will explain. Says the Gemara, b'diktani b'itzdolis lovin mishaloi, the fact that the Mishnah affords him a choice. He can do the Kriyas HaTorah wearing the big day kuhuna, or his own personal beged. What does that tell you about the nature of Kriyas HaTorah? Michlal de Kriya Lam Avodi. Apparently it's not considered a chelik of the Avoida, and therefore you don't need to have big day kuhuna. Otherwise, he would have to wear big day kuhuna. Okay, so once you know that as a fact, let's proceed further. Uktani, doesn't the Mishnah tell us, Imratza Likris, the big day vutzkur. If he chooses, he can use big day boots while he's doing Kriyas HaTorah, even though it's not an avoider. How can he wear big day kuhuna when he's engaged in a non-avoider activity? Shamas mina l'chayri, you can conclude from this. You can have a right that big day kuhuna did nu l'hanesben. That the Torah grants permission for big day kuhuna to be used even when he's not engaged in avoda, nit nulei harisbam. Says him, there's no raya. There's no raya from Kriyas HaTorah. You know why? Dil mashani kriya. Perhaps Kriyas HaTorah on Yom Kippur is different. It's different than just wearing big day kahuna for no special purpose. Here it's different. The tzerich avoda. Although kriya isn't technically an avoda, but it's certainly part of the avoda process. It enables the rest of the avoda Yom Kippur. It's part of today's schedule. And therefore, perhaps it's different. Perhaps he can continue wearing the bidei kahuna during the Kriyas HaTorah as well. Diboilon, because really we had a general shaila. Bidei kahuna nitnu lehanespam? Oy loy nitnu lehanespam? A Torah gives the bidei kahuna to kohanim. Is it strictly for avoda use? Loy nitnu lahanespam, you can't have a personal benefit from it. You have to take it off as soon as you're done avoiding. Or perhaps nitnu lahanespam. Torah allows the kohen to continue wearing the beggar throughout the day, even though he's done with his avoiding. And there are two pshatim in the Rishonim. Some Rishonim learn, well, loy nitnu Torah lemalachi asheris, Torah wasn't given to angels. And expect the impossible of the kohen. As soon as he's done the avoiding, a split second later, he's off with the begadim. Let's assume the Torah allows him to continue wearing it. Another pshat is, it's like a tanai bezdin. The money, the begadim were donated. With this in mind, with this mindset, that the kohen doesn't have to pull it off as soon as he's done in the avoda. So is it as such, or perhaps no? It's strictly for avoda use. Tashma, the more will now bring a raya from a Gemara and Talmud. It says there, loy hayu yishenim bevigdei kodesh. The kohen wouldn't actually sleep wearing their begadim. And we'll have a diuk. Shena hu deloy. Sleeping is not allowed. Rashi says, shema yafiach. He might pass wind, pass gas during the shena. So that's not covered. Ho mechel achli. Apparently eating with the begadim is not an issue. Apparently they can have anno. Dilma shani achila terech avoydei. So there's no right from achila to other activities. Perhaps achila is part and parcel of the avoida procedure. It's not actually avoida, but it's l'tzerech avoida. Whether we're speaking about eating the kachin themselves, or as some of our Farshim say, even the other foods which will be part of his meal before he gets to the kachem, which are meant to be eaten at the end, l'moshchol l'gdula, as a sort of a dessert. So the other foods which he's going to eat is also considered a necessary component for a day's work in the Beis HaMikdash. And perhaps that's why he can wear the begadim. The tzorech avoydi, we regard eating as part of the avoyda. Tzorech avoyda. Because the sani v'ochel oisem ha-shakuba behem. Pasuk says that the karbanas are meant to be eaten by the kayanim. And the pasuk says, ha-shakuba behem. Which implies that even eating karbanas is considered somewhat part of the kapara. Melamed, we learn from here, shakahanim oichlim, u'balim miskaprim. The achila of the karbanas by the kehanim, and actually Rashi Psachim says it applies even to the Israelim, who eat their portions of the karbanas, that generates kapara ubalim miskaprim. So even achila is really related to avoida, to karbanas, and perhaps, yeah, they can actually eat wearing their begadim. But to engage in any other personal activities, to just plainly benefit from the bidik kahuna, don't have a raya that that's mutter. Okay, says, well, let's proceed further. So what do we learn in the Mishnah here? They wouldn't sleep in their begadim. Sheinahu delay. They couldn't sleep. Ha hiluchim mahalchi. They have a diak. No sleep, but they could just walk around with their begadim. You see, you can have a no. Says Umar, it's not really a right. Bidinhu daluchi namiloi. Perhaps they can't even walk around with those begadim once they're done avoided. So why is the Mishnah specifically speak about the Isser to sleep? The Sefer Tzrichalei. The reason is because we wanted to proceed to the Sefer to tell us a chiddush regarding the time of Zman Sheina. The Sefer Tzrichalei. What would they do then? Poishtinu makaplin umanichin. Tachas Rishayim. They would remove the begadim when they went to sleep, fold them up, and place the begadim umanichin tachas Rishayim under their heads to be used as a pillow. So that's the chiddush of the Mishnah. That you can do that. And as Rashi says, let's go to Rashi. V'sefet strichle up on top. Sheina de nokat. The reason why the Mishnah discusses Sheina, to tell you a chiddush regarding sleeping. To tell you, they can place it beneath their heads. There's no concern, perhaps he'll pass wind, because once he's no longer wearing it, even though it's lying right next to him, there's no concern. It's not considered a lack of respect if he's mafiach at that time. So you can't have a diak. Right? Shena is usher, but walking around is mutter. That's not the point of the Mishnah. Perhaps even walking around is awesome. The Mishnah chose to discuss Shaina to teach us this halacha. Says the Mishnah, but that in itself should be a raya. Poishtinu makaplinu manichin oisin tachas Rashem. Shamas mino. You can conclude from this alone. Big de kuhuna nitnu lahanisman. The fact that you're allowing it to be placed beneath your heads means as a pillow, apparently you can have enough from big de kuhuna. Amar papa no loite matachas Rashem. Rather than referring to beneath their heads, interpret it differently. Le'ema k'neged Rashem, says Rashi, Eitzel Rashem. The Mishnah simply meant that they folded it up and placed it near, next to their heads. But of course they wouldn't actually lie on them, because perhaps we may not have Hano from Bigdei Kehuna, Shaloi B'Shas Avod. So at this point in the Gemara, regarding the ability for a kohen to wear Bigdei Kehuna. So during Avodah, of course, it's mutter. Even during Kriyas HaTorah and Yom Kippur, or Achila, which is considered Tzorech Avodah, it would be mutter. Sleeping with the begadim is asur, because it's a lack of kavod. Regarding other activities, we leave it unresolved at this point, but it's Hashem to be resolved in tomorrow's daf. Okay, let's make a quick chazar of today's daf. We learned about the sreif of the par v'sar Yom Kippur, as well as the par koyim Mashiach, par amdav shal tzibur. All these things happen chus l'shalish machmis. Where was the makam sreifa? According to Rabbanan, Safan v'Yerushalayim, according to Rav Shimon Mizrach. We need to have some deshan placed there, according to some shittas, and perhaps according to other shittas not. There's tumas begadim that sets in, according to Tanakama, as soon as he leaves the Azara. According to Reb Shimon, it only takes place when the fire actually takes hold of most of the animal. Until a point is tumas begadim going to apply, according to the Tanakama, only until it turns into ashes, according to Reb Shimon. Even before that moment, once the nitach habosar happens, it's no longer considered the original par, it's no longer matama begadim. The Kohen Gadol had to wait until the soyer arrived in order to continue his avoda. So you had three ways to determine that. According to Tanakama, they had fellows standing with flags, which would indicate that the soyer arrived at the cliff. According to Rabbi Yehuda, they waited the time period that it takes to walk 3 mil, and this would indicate that the soyer arrived at the beginning, at the outskirts of the midbar, which we call Beis Chidudai. According to Bishmo, they relied on the thread, which would whiten when the soyer arrived at the midbar. We learned in the Mishnah, Kohen Gadol's next item on the agenda was Kriyas HaTorah, where he would read the three parshiyos, Achrei Mois, Ach Ba'asar, and from the Musafin in Parshas Pinchas. He was Mevarech 8 brachos following the Kriyas HaTorah, and concluded with the Shaila, whether or not Big Day Kahuna can be used even during non-avoid activities. Haslacha Rabbah to you, Kol Tov.